If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Secretary of State Anthony Blinken is going to be in the Middle East for a series of visits aimed at easing the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. He's expected to raise the issue of a pause in fighting. And with us now to discuss that and other matters in the Middle East, News Nation military analyst, Lieutenant General Richard Newton. Good morning, sir. I want to talk first about the difference between a humanitarian pause and a ceasefire. What is it exactly that differentiates the two?
Well, good morning, Bob. You know, since we last talked, things are certainly escalating. Just real quick, the Israeli Defense Forces have surrounded Gaza City. In fact, they've choked off Gaza, the Gaza City from the rest of the Gaza Strip. That's significant. There are Israeli military forces are actually face-to-face fighting Hamas as we speak. But nonetheless, Secretary Blinken, as you reported, has landed in Tel Aviv. This is his third visit to Israel since the conflict began back on October 7th. And it's reported that through the State Department spokesperson that his mission is to do just that, is to encourage Israel to continue the support of Israel from the United States standpoint, but also to consider a pause for two things. Number one is to allow for hostage negotiation that's going back channel, certainly in the Arab world and also between capitals and so forth, in support of some path to get hostages through a negotiated effort free. Secondly, is also to provide that humanitarian aid. Back to your point, your question, though, there could be a pause with regard to actual Israel engagement with Hamas, with in terms of the kinetic piece of this, strikes from the air and perhaps some ground assault pause. The ceasefire aspect, though, is much broader than that. I don't see that on the horizon at all. In fact, I don't see much of a pause from Israel's standpoint, because they've created such some significant momentum, Bob, in the last 24 to 48 hours. Mm. But nonetheless, I think we'll see where Secretary Blinken will obviously engage with Israeli senior leaders, especially Prime Minister Netanyahu. Whether that comes to fruition or not, we don't know. But nonetheless, that's what's on the table right now.
Is there a third option? We talk about a ceasefire or a humanitarian pause. Is there anything else that they could do?
Yeah, that's a great question. The third aspect of this would be Israel would continue to engage. They would continue to engage, in my view, significantly as they, again, close that encirclement of Gaza City, make it even tighter, all the while keep open diplomatic channels, not only just U.S. vis-a-vis other nation states in the region, but with Israel as well. But that would be that would be a third approach. But I cannot see, and nor would I, frankly, if I'm advising our U.S. military, if we're in a role here, if we've got some significant movement and engagement, because the objective here of Israel ground forces, first and foremost, Bob, is to destroy Hamas. Period. Dot. Mm-hmm. However, the piece of this is, it's also to rescue the hostages. So Israel will be going back and forth in terms of the balance between significant strikes and now surgical aims to take out Hamas leadership and then the terrorists themselves, all the while, you know, getting into those tunnels. The whole key to this whole conflict, Bob, right now is getting inside of Gaza City, block by block, street by street, and house by house. We've been talking about this for weeks, but now this is really coming to fruition. This is where tanks and armored personnel carriers and heavy military really is not as effective as actually getting inside those buildings, getting underground, getting into the tunnels, destroying Hamas, because they're below ground. And then also, just as important is to find those hostages and rescue them the best they possibly can.
As you know, Israel's position is no ceasefire, no humanitarian pause, but they still say a prime objective is to get those hostages out. So how do you deal with those two issues?
Well, there's a third issue going on, and that's the information war campaign where the Hamas is again, really, I think, has an edge here in terms of their communication to the rest of the Arab world about, quote, the atrocities of Israel. Let's not forget that they're the ones that did the brutal attack on October 7th. But nonetheless, this whole it's multiple faceted. It is changing hour by hour. Again, from Israel's standpoint, their survival from their perspective is on the line here. They're also trying to make sure that to the north, Hezbollah understands that Israel is not going to back down in Gaza and with Hamas. Therefore, that would perhaps and hopefully deter and dissuade Hezbollah from opening up that second front. Now you've also got the Eisenhower, the second U.S. carrier strike group, is joining the U.S. Gerald Ford carrier strike group just off the coast of Israel and Lebanon. So that's playing importantly here as well. But it's not linear. This is multiple facets, multiple uses of a variety of national security tools, certainly military, now information war, now diplomatic, and so forth. And so that lends itself to what, you know, our listeners will think is a very complex situation and rather chaotic, and it is.
Mm-hmm.
The last point I would make, Bob, is that this is now 21st century warfare. You've got, it's high tech, it's highly engaged, information travels at the snap of a second, you know, through social media and so forth. And so it's very complicated, but at the same time, I'll come back to a very strategic high-level view. Secretary Blinken is there, and the Biden administration, I think, is correct in trying not to have this conflict explode, if you will, across the region. But nonetheless, it's a very difficult thing to do. My final point is, we talk about Hamas, we talk about Hezbollah. Iran is at the center of all this, Bob. They have created what I call a ring of fire, and others have called a ring of fire around Israel. You've got Hezbollah to the north, Hamas, certainly in Gaza, in the Gaza Strip, and then you've got the Houthis down in Yemen, who are also launching, you know, very, you know, singular attacks all the way from Yemen into Israel. So if you have that concept, Israel is in the center of the fight here, and that's why they need all the support, in my view, to be successful here. But bottom line is, with Israel, destroy Hamas, period, dot.
Mm-hmm.
All the while, rescue hostages as best we possibly can. Third, try to keep a humanitarian situation from literally exploding out of control. And fourth, and this is going to take a long time, we're talking months, this conflict, is to restore order in Gaza and then try to come up with some governance arrangement that's going to have to be internationally based, and therefore. But I'm getting ahead of myself. That's something for us to talk about in the coming weeks. But nonetheless, that's where we are right now.
In your some 34 years in the military, can you compare this to any other situation that you encountered?
You know, I can't. I've been thinking about that. Of course, I was, my era was Desert Storm back in January of 91 that kicked that off with when Hussein unilaterally attacked Kuwait. You think about a number of the small-scale contingencies we had in the 90s. Milosevic, I was part of that. And then you've got 9/11. Then you've got Operation Enduring Freedom with Afghanistan and then Iraq. This one is, and I've said on air in other venues, especially with News Nation, I've said I have never seen a more chaotic, crisis-filled national security environment for the United States, but also for our allies and friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very difficult situation. This is where my bottom line, however, is you know, these terrorists, they're diabolical. They have no fathom of any type of humanitarian compassion at all. Third, the only thing they understand is power.
Yeah.
You have to stand up to bullies. This is the case where we've got to stand tall, strong, stand by Israel. But the fact that the United States is, there's other contingencies we've got to worry about, including Ukraine and Russia. We've got China, Taiwan. Very complex. No, the bottom line is, Bob, this is the most chaotic crisis environment I've seen. However, mm-hmm. I don't want our viewers walking out there on eggshells.
Yeah,
this is somebody's got to stand up and fight for freedom here and deter aggression, and no longer, you know, we cannot stand still for Russia invading Ukraine or Hamas attacking Israel because our vital national security interests are involved there directly.
News Nation's Richard Newton, Lieutenant General Newton, always appreciate your expertise. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Bob. Good morning.